Hey guys, and welcome back to Percussion Perspective. I'm Remy.
I'm Kevin.
And today we're back. We've had kind of a longish break that we didn't really tell anybody about. Well, we just didn't tell anybody about it. But yeah, we just got really busy with the end of the school year, and then we just kind of enjoyed the beginning of the summer, and now we're kind of right in the middle of the summer. We're right at the end of June. And yeah, we're back. We're excited to talk and chat. I haven't actually talked to Kevin since the last episode we recorded.
Okay.
It's like
none of
months.
That's true. Remy will
some
funny
some
thing about
true.
Remy, he will randomly FaceTime me, and just the other day he randomly FaceTimed me and gave me a little mini tour of his garage, and then today he FaceTimed me while his daughter was swinging.
Okay. Calm down.
I'm just kidding. Yeah. So nothing bad.
Most
happened.
People would be flattered by that.
I am flattered. We just got really jam packed at the end of our school year, and just didn't make it work. And it was funny. We got down to like the deadline. You know, sometimes we record these and we get down to like Thursday night and we're like, oh my gosh, we got to get an episode done. And sometimes we do it. And then one week we were, we were just so packed with our lives, and we were just like, all right, we're not going to do it. And it felt very like, oh man, we gave up, you know?
Yeah.
But we didn't give up. We just had to chill for a little bit. But we are going to try to be back to a regularly scheduled episode output schedule, whatever that meant.
Yeah. And, get back to our every other week.
Yeah.
Every other episodes. Year. Every other decade.
Every other year, we put out a 400-hour episode.
Every other lifetime. every other generation. It's like, so my son won't do the podcast, but then his son will.
That got really weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, we're just going to do a chat, and we're going to talk about what we've done since our last episode. I think it was in May that we did one.
Like probably right towards the beginning of May. So we've almost had, it's been like 6 or 7 weeks that we haven't done it, that we haven't released an episode.
Anyway. Should we keep talking about how we haven't released an episode in a while?
I was just thinking that. Yeah. Common cool. Podcast L of just talking about nothing for the first 10 minutes, except it's only been 3 minutes and 5 seconds.
Yeah, not bad. Not bad.
But yeah, we've both done some stuff, and that's kind of what we wanted to do today, was just get on here and just catch up and talk about what we've done this summer and things like that. Kevin's had a pretty cool summer. He traveled abroad. I think he's going to tell us about his trip to the land of Poland.
Land.
Which is Poland.
That's a good one.
Yeah, Poland.
The land of Poland. So you want me to do that now?
No. How's it going, man?
Okay. It's good. We haven't put out an episode in a while. I'm just kidding. No, it's good. Summer has it's always insane how fast like the beginning of your summer break turns into the middle of your summer break, turns into almost the end of your summer break. But we're kind of at the middle. I always see that like, or not see, I always think of 4th of July as like my wake up call to like, hey, summer's almost over. And that's going to be coming up soon. But, just been trying to relax a little bit. I went to Poland. We can talk about that later. Just been doing stuff around the house, making social media videos and whatnot. And
yeah, geez, for anyone that doesn't follow, Kevin Mazarko percussion, or it's just Kevin Mazarko. I forget
there's no percussion
Instagram
in there.
Name.
There's no percussion.
Kevin dot Mazarko.
I think so.
Yeah. Anyway, if you don't follow him on like Instagram and TikTok, or I don't have a TikTok cause I'm not a 12-year-old girl, but,
Dang it.
If you don't follow him there, go follow him. He puts out a lot of really great content of him learning how to read quarter notes and whole notes and stuff like that. And he'll get there eventually. No, but you've got like 40,000 followers or something crazy now. So
it's getting there.
Yeah.
It's cool.
And then let's see, what have I done?
Yeah. So what have you been up to?
Yeah. So I really, like you said, we're kind of right in the middle of the summer. We're recording this ironically on a Friday. You know, we'll probably just release it when we're done. And obviously nobody cares. but I feel like this has been my actual first week of summer. As soon as school was over, we did like a, you know, few day, percussion camp with my high school students. And that's something that I guess, you know, if we want to do something that's educational and helpful here on this episode, I encourage you to have a percussion camp at the beginning of the summer if you don't have one. It's just kind of a good way to get your kids all playing, make sure that everybody can play through the exercises, they know the technique and blah, blah, blah. You're kind of just like working your way through the packet for a few days. So we just did it for a few days, 9 to noon. It's really chill. We just come in. We don't even wear the drums, you know. It was just me. So we just kept the front ensemble and battery together and we just work our way through the packet. And it's just a good way to make sure everyone knows how to practice and what they need to practice. But like I said, more importantly, how to practice. A lot of you guys that are listening to this probably do this, but if you don't, I encourage you to. The years that I do a preseason camp, it always turns out being better, you know? So anyway, we did that for that first week of summer. And then we went on vacation the second week. We went to Bentonville, Arkansas, with my immediate family and then my wife's family. We usually do like some big vacation, but we all have a bunch of kids. So instead of driving all the way to like Colorado or New Mexico or somewhere to go backpacking and mountain biking and stuff, we just went over to Bentonville. It's just, you know, 2 or 3 hours away. And that was fun. The other, you know, the cousins, their family started that trip with the flu. So they had to like drive over and meet us. I think I told you that they had to drive over and meet us like halfway through. So we ended up extending that vacation a couple days, so that, you know, my daughter, could hang out with her cousins longer, because for the first few days, she was like the only kid there. I mean, we have a baby too, but he doesn't know what's going on. So, but that was a good time. Did some really good mountain biking over there. Bentonville's a great place for that. And
I was going to say, man, do you have a cool, like anything cool happen on that mountain bike trip or anything bad happen? Did you see any bears?
I did not see any bears. It's not really, you know, that's not really bear country over there. I guess they've got like black bears, but those are kind of like giant raccoons sort of,
basically.
So no, I mean, not that I can think of. It was a pretty chill trip. I did like a solo day of mountain biking, or a solo afternoon, and that was fun. My father-in-law and brother-in-law dropped me off, oh, I don't know, 8 or 10 miles away from downtown, and then they drove and met the rest of the people, rest of our family, you know, downtown, and walked around like a botanical garden and grabbed some food or something, and I just rode a bunch of trails all the way to downtown. And that was probably one of the best times, you know, it's just getting away and getting to do that. We stayed at a really cool house that was like, had like an indoor pool and it's like a VRBO type thing. And, had like a pickleball court and
pickleball
stuff like that.
So pretty fun.
Pickleball is fun. Yeah. There's lots of middle-aged people that do that, and I'm approaching that. No, it is fun though. Got to play. It was hot, man, though. It's like super hot and humid over there, just like it is in Oklahoma. So yeah, not anything crazy happened on that trip that I can remember. So just good times. with the fam. And then we got back from that. And I immediately started like a 2-week concert band camp at the University of Tulsa. And I teach the percussion for that. This was like my third year doing that. I've taught the, you know, been the percussion coordinator for that camp for a few years now, and it's fun. But that just ended this last week. So then this, you know, it's Friday now. So the last few days is like, I feel like that's been the start of my summer. I've been really busy for like the first month.
Yeah.
Anyway,
the time
that catches us up to now, pretty much.
Basically the time where you get to wake up and be like, no one's expecting me to do anything today.
Right.
Except be a father and a husband, but
yeah, which is a lot also, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, tell us about that then. If that's, you need to talk about that.
Oh no, we don't need to talk about that.
I'm just kidding.
That's a different podcast. I was trying to think of the father. I can't think of an alliteration for that. Anyway.
Oh,
but yeah, it's been good. Now we are home. I've been working on writing show music and stuff for a few other schools, trying to get that cranked out as quick as possible so that I can start on my school stuff. You know, I always like to spend more time on my schools, like the music that I'm going to have to listen to for 4 months.
Right.
Try to spend more time on that. So I'm trying to work my way through those other shows right now. And we're also doing like a bunch of home improvement projects. Like I've got a laundry room build going. Like we don't really have a laundry room in our house. It's an older house. So they didn't used to have laundry rooms. Didn't even used to have washing machines probably. It's like this house is built in like the 50s. I don't know when the first washer and dryer came out.
I don't either.
But, I mean, there were probably some people in the 50s with a washer and dryer, but it's probably a luxury for sure. I know, you know, lots of people just like washed them, I don't know, in a giant tub. Who knows, man?
Yeah.
But yeah, my wife had this idea to sell our washer and dryer and get a stacking kit, put them on one side, kind of. Where our washer and dryer is right now, it's like in our kitchen. It's like in the corner of our kitchen. And it's like pretty loud, you know, when we're like trying to watch a movie or something at night, or MasterChef, or you know, we're watching MasterChef right now. Shout out Gordon Ramsay if you listen to this one. But it's really loud. And so we have been wanting to close that in. So we bought a stacking set. I'm going to close that in and, you know, one side will be the washer dryer. And then the other side, I'm going to build a pantry in there. So I've been working on that, just like some outdoor projects and stuff. Going to build a shed. We can talk about that forever.
Nice.
Yeah. Anyway, that's kind of it. I feel like I've been talking for 20 minutes though. So you should talk now.
Well, the first washer and dryer was invented in 1957.
Okay. Oh, well, so that's when our house was built.
Yeah. So you're like, yeah, you were pretty spot on there.
Nice.
Cool. Well, yeah. What have I been doing? So the first week of June, we left. Well, backstory. I am in a cover band, which when you hear people say that, you're like, oh boy.
It's Kiss. Yeah. Kiss cover band.
But no, we are in, I drum for a band. It's called the Richmond Road Band. And, the band exists because of this group or this ministry in Poland called Pro-M Ministries. And one of our guys went over there back in 2017 just to kind of see what they were doing. And they're basically an outreach ministry for orphans, for like widows, for people with disabilities. They do sports camps for kids, and it's all like faith-based. And so they started this event called Contact, which is an international week long, essentially a mission trip. But there are a bunch of different groups that come over from the United States. United States, I can't talk, from the U.S. There's some from Owosso, some from Tulsa, and then there's obviously WeGo, and then there's some other ones from Georgia and some other places. But they do this week where they go out and they just do outreach things in Poland. And they wanted to start using some live music for essentially bait to put on these little events in random areas of some random cities in Poland. And they'll like cook food and have water. And basically people kind of just come and be like, what is this little event going on? We've got music playing. And then they just kind of start talking to the people about the ministry and all of the things that Pro-Am offers to people. And so in 2017, our head guy went up there and checked it out and was like, yeah, we are going to put, we want to come do this and play music and, you know, use our God-given abilities to help the ministry. And so in 2023 is when I joined. They had a drummer before me, but I joined as their current drummer, and we have been over there three times, or this is my third time. They've been going since like 20, I think they went in 2018, 19, and then not 20 or 21 or 22 because of COVID. And then we started going back 3 years ago. So it's really, really cool. It's really interesting. We do a lot of concerts. We play five concerts in 4 days. We play for, there's an orphanage that we go to in a place called Nadabel, which is a orphanage for adults with disabilities. And it is truly a sad place. And I don't mean that in a rude way. I just mean that in like these people, and it's like an hour and a half from anywhere else. So they don't ever get visitors, and they're just people with disabilities who just live in this three-story building and don't have much going on. And so Pro-Am reached out to them. And so we put on a little concert for them, and they dance like crazy and smile and have like the best day ever. And then we go upstairs to their third floor because they have people who live up there that basically can't leave their beds. And those are probably in their 80s or 90s, you know, their ages. And we play worship music up in there with like an acoustic guitar. And it's really cool just getting them to be able to have people come and see them who care for them and stuff like that. And their staff are always really appreciative. And so that's one of the, that's like the first concert we do. It's always our favorite because it's, if we feel like it makes the biggest impact out of the other ones. And then, so some of the places we go to are Nadabel. We stay in a place called Tamashu, which is like their main church, like their headquarters. We go to Pietrzykow. We go to Łódź. There might be another one, but I can't think of it. Then they have a camp, a really beautiful camp at a place called Zako. And that's kind of where they have camps for kids, for Ukrainian kids and stuff like that. And so they're just a big outreach community. So we've gone over there three times, and it's just a blast. And we always end up kind of tail ending somewhere else on the trip. So we got to spend a couple of days in London on the way back, which is pretty cool. Got to see Big Ben, which makes me really special. Big Ben.
Yeah. I really wish that I could like check you on all the pronunciations of all the cities and towns and stuff. Are you pretty like, that's actually how those.
I'm close on those. Because those have been consistently the places we've gone 3 years in a row. So if we would have talked about this 2 years ago, I would have been like, I wouldn't have remembered, but
yeah,
it's 3 years now of me hearing those names. So, but anywhere else, it's like one of the places we go, Łódź is actually spelled L-O-D-Z.
Oh,
but
wow.
But it's got like all the markings and stuff. Sure. So it's pronounced Łódź. So yeah,
and they speak Polish.
They speak Polish, and a lot of them speak Ukrainian.
Okay. And then everyone there kind of probably speaks some English as well.
Yeah, there's pretty much the majority of everyone that works in that ministry has a decent level of English. One of the cool things that makes the trip, other than the serving that we get to do, but that makes the trip really smooth, is they have a top-notch sound crew over there. They have a band over there called Exodus 15, and they're like Poland's version of like Hillsong here in the States. And they're like really good, like wholesome people, and they're really talented, and they have an amazing sound crew. And so we use that sound crew for all of our concerts. So we kind of show up, and they pretty much have 95% of it set up, and I might have to like add my cymbals or rearrange some stuff, but
all the drums are there. You just have to put the heads on.
Yeah. Yeah, and I have to.
It's like, just I don't travel with heads. Sorry.
No, but yeah, they provide us with a drum set and they set up all the sound equipment. And so it's really cool. Cause that obviously wouldn't be
Sonar. What are you playing over there?
He has for the travel set, he has a Yamaha stage custom or tour.
Oh, nice.
Yamaha tour custom.
Nice.
And then Zildjian cymbals. No, Sabian. I think some Sabian cymbals. But we played the guy that's over there, Michael, the drummer. Kupchak, I think is his last name. He's a heartbeat cymbal artist.
Oh, okay. Those are those ones that I was asking about.
Yeah.
They looked like Saludas, like the, which is another like real small brand. I think they're from like one of the Carolinas.
Okay.
But those like concentric circles on the finish, Saluda does that to some of their cymbals. So
yeah,
that's what I thought they were. But I used to have a set of those and then I ended up selling them, but I had them for several years.
Yeah. So it's a really fun trip and I'm lucky to get to be, you know, and so this cover band that we're in is not like, we don't do anything that's not related to that trip and going over and doing. So we just do concerts and gigs around town. And all of the money that we get just goes towards us being able to go on that trip.
Yeah, so, to go back the next summer.
Yeah, to go back and do that.
So, yeah, and you like, what would you say? You probably do like 4 or 5 shows or something a year to then like...
Yeah.
To then pay for all of your guys' like flights and...
Yeah, we do this big concert with a conscience in November. And that's like our big, like ticketed people buy tickets to come watch us play knowing that it goes towards that. So that's a big thing. And then we'll play at breweries. We've played at the country club. We've played at random people's houses. Like we were part of a fundraiser that people got to bid on. And one of the things was, the Richmond Road Band comes to your house. So we went to a surgeon's house, set up in front of his pool and played.
Yeah, there was, I think I told you about that. You remember that old man band that I yes. played with in Stillwater? Yes. It was very, very similar to that. It was like, I don't know, probably my last 2 years of undergrad and then all through grad school. I wouldn't even say I was in this band because it was, you know, like, it was literally this one thing a year. And it was, I called it the old man band. I don't even know. They probably thought we were a band. Like it was like a bunch of middle-aged dudes that you could tell like this was the highlight of their year every single time. It was, yeah. It was super fun, but it was, yeah, some, you know, out there southwest of town where all the rich people live. And they had like this crazy nice pool and outdoor kitchen and stuff. And it was always like right before the first, like football game had right before college football season starts, just like the weekend before that's taken up by everybody because college football is really big in Stillwater for some reason. I don't know. They were hope it's better this year anyway. But yeah, it was like we would have like one rehearsal and then, you know, they wanted us to play for like 3 hours. So we had like 25, 35 songs or something. And it's just all covers. And I mean, we would have a rehearsal and we would just sort of play through and I didn't know, like I would know about half the songs. I would not know about half the songs. And I don't even know if we would get all the way through all of them in that one rehearsal. And then it was just be me like just winging it basically. And these other dudes, they're like reading lead sheet symbols and stuff, but it was super fun. But yeah, like those last 4 years or something, I could pretty much count on that gig every single year.
Yeah.
And it paid like super well. I mean, they paid the band like we each got like $800 or something. And there were like 5 people in the band. So it was like they were paying, you know,
yeah,
multiple $1,000s for us to come play.
For this band that rehearsed one time. And
right.
Like,
yeah. And like, honestly, I was just like, I'm messing up constantly, but it's like I've been playing drum set long enough, you know. That's honestly playing those gigs probably made me a better drum set player because you just start like, oh, this is the stuff. Okay. What tempo is it? What style is it? Okay. That's it. That's all I would do for like the songs. I didn't have,
yeah.
I wouldn't like chart anything out. It was just like, oh, fast rock beat, here we go, and like that would be it anyway.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, you have the skill to do that. Some people can't figure that out.
Right.
You know, but yeah, we're lucky. We like everyone in the band that we play in is really talented. I mean, there's not like a weak link on our group. And so that makes it fun too. Like, yes, we're going and serving for Pro-Am, but at the same time, we sound pretty good. We have really good guitar players, really good singers, keyboard player, drummer's okay.
Still working on it.
Bass player's great, all that stuff. So it's fun. And I look forward to, hopefully we get to do this for, you know, every year for a long time.
Yeah, let me know if you need someone to play Shaker next year.
No, the singers actually trade off doing like Shaker and tambourine. So we've been looking for a bongo player.
Oh, I can do that.
Well, can you do two at a time?
No, I'm just on the one bongo right now.
The high one or the low one?
I haven't added the second one.
I'm a bongo player, but I haven't added the second one yet.
Yeah, I said bongo, not bongos. Okay,
that's true. Chill out. That's true. But yeah, so, and there, you know, since we came back from that, that's like an 11-day trip. So we're back from that and just getting back to life as a band director during the summer, just starting to think about next year and stuff like that. Hopefully we get to make it down to see you guys.
Make it up.
Over.
Yeah.
Over and up.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, anything that you are pumped about for next year specifically?
This coming year will be the first time. Well, my incoming freshmen are the first group of kids that I started here.
Okay.
3 years ago. So, cause I just completed my third year. So I had them as, you know, started them in sixth grade,
yeah,
7, 8. And then, yeah, they'll be in ninth. So, and it's good. I mean, you know, a lot of those kids are in, like a lot of them made it on the drum line. A lot of them are going to play keyboard in the front ensemble. And, yeah, so I'm excited to have them. Just excited to keep building. We're also going to have the biggest, probably the biggest group that we've had in a long, I mean, since we've been here, since way before we've been here even. I think I don't remember the exact number, but it's going to grow, I mean, by probably 30 or 40 kids just from last year. We've just, yeah, like, you know, slowly been getting those sixth grade classes up and up, and then retention has been better. And so, honestly, and you know, 6A, and you guys know, and 6A marching band, like it's kind of just a numbers game for a lot of it. Like you can get way, way better at the beginning, just adding more kids and having more options, right?
Having more kids, spending more money.
Right. Yeah. It's an arms race. That's what it is. But, you know, we talk to our kids about this all the time. It's like the programs that we are chasing, they've already done all that legwork to get there. Like I talk to my kids about setting trajectory all the time. And it's like, you want your trajectory to be set really high. That way at the end of the season, you know, you're up at the top of the mountain or whatever. And so it's like, you know, it's really not that difficult to go from, you know, if you talk about like a scale of 0 to 10 or whatever, it's not that hard to go from like 0 to 6 or 0 to 7. Because really all it takes is more kids, more band fees, blah, 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 just like more resources. But it's, you know, all of that work going from 0 to 6, you can do in like a few years, but then it's like, man, the work to go from 6 to 7 is really, really difficult. And then 7 to 8 is even more difficult than the 8 to 9, you know, just like there's the last little chunk up there where you're chasing those really elite programs like Avon and, you know, Broken Arrow. I mean, we've got them right here in Northeast Oklahoma, but, when you're chasing those guys that are like 8, 9, 10 level, the difference, you know, between like a 89-point show and a 90-point show is like 2 weeks of rehearsal on the, you know, on the same thing. There's just so much work that goes into just
$10,000.
Yeah, well, yeah, like $100,000. Yeah. But anyway, so we're in that part where we are getting a lot better really quickly because it's just like, well, we're doing the right things now. We've got more kids. We have finally kind of like jumped on the wagon of like, okay, guys, I'm sorry, we're a 6A competitive marching program. You can't only spend $150 to be in this anymore. Like, it's going to be more expensive.
Right.
And we're going to go to a BOA. We're going to go to the Flagstaff Regional this year. So I'm really excited about that. I'm also really terrified about that, but it should be fun.
As scary as you think.
Yeah. You guys went this last year or 2 years ago?
We went, yeah, not this last, but the year before.
Okay. So yeah, we're going to go to that. And
the literally the worst part is they like to get
the drive.
The drive obviously, but when you, once you're there, it's in a dome, and
right.
To go from your warm up down into the entrance of the dome is like this massive downhill.
Oh, good.
Like you've got to go down a long hill to get, or that's to get to your warm up area. Sorry, from like,
and they have
camp.
Like an escalator, like a marimba escalator or something.
Nope.
Or they have guys that help you. So like my 27-pound marimba player, she's just going to have to like hold on to it and hope that it doesn't just mow over everyone else.
It was like the hold yours in the front and help the person behind you in the back. It was super fun. It was a good contest.
Well, yeah, we're going to go to that. And that's early, man. That's in like September.
Yeah.
So, really trying to get some show music done quickly this year so that it'd be great to have the whole show done by Bandcamp, but I doubt that's going to happen, at least for percussion. But you know, half of it by the time Bandcamp starts would be nice. That way, that buys us a little bit of time of like, you know, we hit fundamentals and stuff for a few, and then like, once I'm like, okay, you guys are ready for show music, I'll throw that out there. And then we've got maybe like, you know, part one, part two or whatever to work on for a week. And then that buys me a little bit of time before I can, you know, write the rest of the show. That's always the worst. Like I really enjoy writing, but one of the worst things ever as an educator that also, you know, is an arranger, like teaching Bandcamp and having to write your show at the same time. Like,
yep,
we do Bandcamp like just a big huge block at the beginning of the day, so from like 7 a.m to like 2 or 3, and then it's like, oh, now I get to go home and write music. I just taught for, you know, 7 hours or 8 hours or whatever that is, and it's rough, but there's just what you have to do.
Yeah, it's what you're doing.
Yeah. If I don't know, I almost didn't write for any other schools this year, and I kind of wish that I would have done that, but
next year when you're thinking that I'm going to play this part of the episode.
Next year when what?
Next year when you're considering writing for other people, I'm going to play that section of the podcast for you.
Well, yeah. I mean, this year is just like with the new baby around, and I mean, he's like not a newborn anymore. He's just like a regular old common baby, but you know, he doesn't take as much where it's not like you're afraid he's like gonna, I don't know. Newborns are like, every time you look at him, you're like, are you okay? Are you breathing?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Now it's like, all right, he's like 3 months old. Like he's doing all right.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, man. What are you doing for the rest of the summer now?
I mean, we'll just have a big like 4th of July thing. My wife's side of the family has a big 4th of July. They've got a guy that does like goes and gets the cheap wholesale, whatever fireworks. So we get a bunch and they do like a big little,
they accidentally blow up in front of everyone. Like he gets the cheap one. So it's like,
yeah.
You know, no, those paper, I mean, you know, those paper fuses.
No.
So it's like, they have like the green fuses on,
right.
On, what are those called? Fireworks.
Fireworks.
Yeah. The green, and those are like the, they'll like burn real slow, right? It's like just a normal fuse. So the cheap fireworks have like that gray paper fuse, and it like goes like that. I mean, it's like light.
You don't have time to run away. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I remember we got a whole bunch of those one year. They were like the cheap wholesale fireworks or whatever. And it was like, they were just blowing up in our faces. We just had to like get rid of them because it was like, we're going to like blow our hands off or something. But
well, and by wholesale, I didn't mean like he doesn't get cheap fireworks. Yeah, he just gets
go some to like a supplier and buy them directly. When you said that, I just like imagined like a whole bunch of like, you know,
everything's old people blown up.
Like getting blown away in their lawn chairs and stuff because there's some big accident.
We do. I mean, he does a little show and sometimes it'll be like we'll feel some pieces of the fireworks that have blown up are like falling on us, but that's normal.
That's part of being an American.
Yeah. So that's pretty much it. We might do like a little trip. You know, sometimes in the summer we try to go to like Eureka Springs or like, Branson or something like that. Eureka Springs is like the place of nothing to do-ness. But yeah, other than that, just having summer and, you know, mentally getting ready for the next year that will be here before we know it, like it always is. So
for real.
Well, you got any other comments you want to?
No, man. Say? I don't think we don't need to make this one longer than it needs to be. We just wanted to hop on here and say, hey, we're back. We will have an episode again in 2 weeks, and it will be not us just shooting the breeze. We'd like to hear from somebody that listened to this. Maybe is that, do you guys want us to keep making this podcast?
It's actually, I have a requirement for everyone that has made it this far in the podcast. It is a requirement that you email us with a topic that you would like us to chat about in the percussion world. It's a requirement.
On the next week.
Requirement.
The next episode.
Yeah. So
you will get a failing grade if you don't. We'll find you.
And we will call your parents.
Yeah.
All right. Well, cool. Thank you guys for listening. We're glad to be back on the pod and getting more episodes out. And we'll see you on the next episode.
Yeah, sounds good.